Welcome back to another episode of Seven Deadly Sinners, the Steve Wozniak episode.
Okay.
Whatever.
Guys, I've got to interrupt here.
There's an issue. I'll tell you what the issue is. Because he didn't even remember it when I first said it.
That's not true.
No, I first said it without you even hearing it. I just woke up and because I make weird noises. And for whatever reason, I just went, Steve Wozniak, when I woke up. Sorry for the vocal fry.
Yeah,
there.
I had to turn down your microphone.
Yeah. Well, because I screamed Steve Wozniak out of nowhere. Like an insane person.
Yeah, that's been her thing lately. I don't know. She woke up one morning and just started wozzing around. She just was like, it's like
Along the Woz Tower?
From Monsters, Inc., Mike Krasinski, Krzyzewski, whatever it is, in Monsters, Inc.
I haven't seen it. I don't know.
You basically just say it's not your name, though. You're just saying someone else's name as like a animal sound.
Is that what he does in the movie?
No, it's like the girl that befriends him says it.
She'll say Woz, basically?
Basically.
Okay.
We've just confused the audience. Everyone is now...
No, they're into it.
They're now determined not to listen to us.
Yeah, and if you feel like you're not into it, I encourage you to not be into it. But if you don't want a Woz...
Look, you can Woz if you want to.
You can leave your Woz behind. Okay, and now we've lost everyone.
Yeah, we have mental problems. The loony bin should be showing up anytime to...
Try living on 70 acres in a less than 500-person town, and you tell me how you feel.
Hey, look, we've been having a lot of fun wozzing around lately, and so that's where our life's at.
Okay.
Shout out Steve Wozniak.
Thank you for your service. Love your computers.
You know, being the left-hand man, second in command, the Scottie Pippen to a Michael Jordan.
Yeah,
ain't a bad place to be.
Yeah. Well, this story is not a bad place to be if you can get away with a crime for decades. I've been very excited to do a heist story. So this is the largest and most infamous museum art heist in U.S. history. It happened in 1990. It was the robbery at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston.
I love a good heist.
So on March 18th, 1990, two men disguised as Boston police officers convinced security guards, they convinced them to let them into the museum late at night after St. Patrick's Day celebrations. And Boston's obviously going to be a St. Patrick's Day hub, clearly.
Might be the biggest St. Patty's Day town in America. Well, Chicago paints the whole river green, so
yeah,
I guess they take the cake.
Yeah, I would say anything on the eastern board because all the immigrants came from, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the eastern seaboard's full of Irishmen.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yep. And Italians. I mean, I'm both.
Italians.
So, once inside, they handcuffed the guards.
That's
in
smart.
The basement, and they spent about 81 minutes stealing 13 works of
about
art.
About 81 minutes. It's just a very precise number to be like. They spent like around, I don't know, 81 minutes.
I don't know.
Precisely.
I mean, no one was like actually clocking it. I mean, they were nervously there. Like, I don't know.
I loved it. It just seemed like a very exact.
Okay.
You've done your research.
I have. Oh. Well, now that you say research.
I don't need to see how much research you've done. If there's one thing Rachel's proud of, it's research.
Well, I'll tell you
this. If you bring up a topic and you think she doesn't know about it, she will pull up a 15-page document.
Well, we should probably reference the sources for this episode.
Ah.
It's the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum official site, the FBI Gardner Heist Investigation, which is still ongoing, Boston Globe Coverage Archive, Smithsonian Gardner heist article, a Netflix documentary called This Is a Robbery.
Nice.
Yeah, New York Times, and the rest can be in the show notes. Okay, you get the point.
She's done her research.
Back to the story.
The guards have been handcuffed for 81 minutes in the basement.
So like you said, the very precise 81 minutes, whatever. Beat it, nerd. Stealing 13 works of art worth an estimated $500 million today, making it the biggest property theft in modern U.S. history. So among the stolen masterpieces were the concert by Johannes Vermeer, one of only 34 known Vermeer paintings in existence, The Storm on the Sea of Galilee by, Rembrandt, how do you say his name?
Yeah, Rembrandt, that's good.
Rembrandt van Rijn.
No, it's a Rembrandt, that's all.
It's a Rembrandt, okay. Yeah. Several sketches by Edgar Deha, a Chinese bronze beaker from the Shang Dynasty.
Awesome.
A Napoleonic eagle finale. I even actually tried to phonetically do this beforehand, but I'm losing
it. You're doing great.
All right. Well, what makes the case even stranger is that the museum still leaves the empty frames hanging on the walls where the paintings once were, hoping the art will someday return.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
The FBI believes organized crime figures in the Northeast were involved, possibly linked to Boston's mob world, but nobody has ever been convicted for the theft. Multiple suspects connected to the FBI investigation have died over the years, and the paintings have never been recovered. Unsurprisingly, yes, the people that were involved in 1990 have likely passed away.
Well, if you're going to steal a painting, aren't you going to immediately sell it? Like, isn't the point to get money from it? So if you're, you know, you're not stealing.
But who are they selling it to? Why didn't they track that?
This would really tie the room together. I'm stealing this, right? Like, no one is putting the art on their wall.
Sure. But shouldn't the FBI have been able? Well, let's go through the case, okay? They should have been able to track the sale of a painting that expensive.
Oh, it's all black market cash. Probably sold for just like hundreds of thousands, pennies on the dollar.
Hold on. Let's keep going.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that just because they died and then nothing turned up, it's like, yeah, it's not in their house anymore. They got rid of it.
Of course they got rid of it.
Yeah.
That wasn't their point in stealing it.
That's the point.
And the museum still offers a $10 million reward for information leading directly to the recovery of the artwork, one of the largest rewards ever offered by a private institution.
We should just drop everything and find those paintings.
There's some rich person probably in Europe. It's probably probably what's his butt that lives in Como.
It's in a thrift shop in Aguilar.
No, it's not. Well, that would be cool. What's the actor that everyone thinks handsome and I've never thought was handsome?
Greg Como. Hunter.
No. Well, Greg, yeah. No, he started on like General Hospital or something.
Cuomo?
Cuomo Lake. He married late in life, like a respectable politician lady. Come on. Well, yeah, it's not Richard Gere, whatever. I'll get to it. So let's go to the story, the actual story. So it's March 18th, 1990. The city is drunk on St. Patrick's Day. All right. Woo. Green beers spilling in gutters, Southie bars roar with laughter. Police sirens echo through foggy streets. And inside one of the most beautiful museums in America, two men dressed like cops walk through a side door. No alarms, no gunfire.
That's just such a good
two
move.
Two fake officers.
Wearing the officer uniform.
Just, I mean, it's actually very smart.
No, I'm telling you, like, if you have a uniform on and walk with purpose carrying like a ladder, you know, that old thing, you carry a ladder, you can go anywhere. I experienced it by being a flower delivery guy.
Yeah.
In Beverly Hills, nothing else. But like, just the places that, because I'm carrying flowers in a clipboard, like, oh, go ahead. Celebrities' homes and just.
Well,
oh,
I yep. was about ready to say what I used to, before I got into true crime and did this podcast, when I just had my comedy interview podcast Be Here for a While, which we've relaunched. Woo. I used to like think
Check
in my
it
head.
Out.
So I only knew true crime after I started this. And I've obviously dug very deep into it. Like considering helping solve the Long Island serial killer case. But anyways, I used to think to myself that the best way to abduct a person or do a murder is a delivery person, because this was before it was like Uber delivery where you could track it. So this is before, this was like 2009 in LA or something. And I was like, someone's delivering pizza to my door. No one's going to fucking know if, sorry for the F word, but. I don't fucking care. So no one's going to know.
This is a rated R podcast.
Yeah. No one's going to know if they just shove the door open and charge in and kill me. Like, it is a wonderful cover up. Just like you said, like carry a ladder, like change into police gear. There are, and just for my listeners, because this is a true crime podcast, I will link it in the show notes. There is a line you can call if there is a police officer behind you or that pulls you over and you don't trust it. Well, first of all, you don't have to pull over if you weren't doing anything wrong and you don't trust it and you don't trust the vehicle. There's a number you can call and alert them that someone, because people use this tactic. Serial killers have used this tactic many times.
Impersonating the law.
Yeah. So there are things you can do. I will research it and let you know what it is, and I'll put it in the show notes. But it's very important to note that you don't have to pull over for anyone, especially if you're not doing anything wrong, and especially someone in a uniform that you get a sketchy vibe from. Eh. Not cool, but they didn't know that in the 90s because there was no social media. Anyways, okay, so back to the story. So it's just two fake officers, a roll of duct tape, and 81 minutes it would become the greatest art theft in American history. By sunrise, the Rembrandt was gone. The Vermeer was gone. $500 million in art vanished into thin air.
It's wild.
And 60 years later, the frames are still empty.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
So they're thinking suspects. Is it the mafia? The dead ends, the lies, it still haunts the FBI. Where are the paintings and who took them? And tonight's story feels less like a robbery and more like a ghost story, because unlike most crimes, this one left behind physical absences, empty spaces, blank walls, missing masterpieces, and somehow that makes it even creepier because it's unsolved.
Wild. I mean, sometimes you like to see the guys get away with it. No one got hurt. These are paintings. You know, like, why are they worth so much money?
Well, let's talk about who started the museum to see if it meant something to her.
Okay, there we go.
We'll talk about Isabella herself. She was born into wealth, which I know makes you want to hate them.
So this museum was started by this Isabella woman, and it's named after her too?
Yes. Isabella Stewart Gardner was born into wealth in New York during the 1800s. But wealth alone wasn't enough for her. She wanted immortality. Well, she clearly got it. She traveled to Europe collecting rare art, manuscripts, sculptures, tapestries, and relics. Eventually, she built her dream in Boston, a Venetian-style palace meant to feel frozen in time. Not a sterile museum. Kind of, it's like Caesar's Palace in Vegas. Let's just take it like that. A living work of art. This museum opened in 1903, and Isabella made one bizarre rule. Nothing could ever be permanently moved. Sorry. Not one painting, not one vase, not one chair. Nothing could be permanently moved.
So anyone that worked there. So she designed this to a T.
Yes. And anyone that worked there.
I like that.
They ain't moving shit.
The feng shui has been determined.
It's been determined.
Okay.
I mean, if you're that rich, you're going to determine it. Okay?
It's about taste, maybe not just wealth.
Well, if anyone altered her vision after death, the museum could lose its endowment. That's how big of a deal it was. After she died, the museum would lose its endowment if something was moved. So imagine if you worked there and you were like, oh, I should just go clean this thing. Nope.
Think twice.
Yeah. Which means even today, that's why the empty frames still remain from the stolen paintings once hung.
Okay.
Like living gravestones.
But did the thieves take the paintings out of the frames, or did they just put new frames back up?
That's a great question.
Thank you. I wanted to just...
That I don't know, and I didn't look into that.
We got to go to the museum and see if anyone there knows.
Well, now you just put me in.
But how weird would it be for a thief? Like, it's got to be much easier. Well, maybe not.
No,
maybe the frames are like bolted to the wall.
Yeah, they probably had a way to take them out. That's my guess.
Huh. And this is a question for.
Even though I'm a great researcher, I did not look into that part.
I don't know if you ever met Ross, my good friend Roast Hogman. He's an artist, he's a framer. But he would know about if it's easier to pull the frame. I wonder about that. I want to like phone a friend for this podcast.
Well, I made a mistake and I didn't research that because you're the only one that brought that up to me. So
I have a peculiar mind.
Yes, you do. And so was Boston in 1990. It was complicated.
Yeah.
The city still carried organized crime war history between the Irish, the Italians, and the FBI was watching the mob actively, closely. Yeah, yeah, I bet that they didn't take the frames. I bet that would have been too obvious. You can slip a.
Why didn't they? No, if I was stealing a painting from my friend's house, I would take the whole thing off the wall because it's just hanging on a wire. But these are probably.
But you're not an organized crime, Greg.
You're right. I've never been a professional thief.
You're not an art thief, a drug trafficker.
I've been thinking about
South Boston was infamous. I actually love South Boston, by the way.
You would.
And St. Patrick's Day weekend.
Go Colts.
Was absolute chaos. Listen.
I'm listening.
Go. It was chaos. It was the right time to do it because people are partying like crazy. So no one's paying attention.
That was very well planned. They
were partying all night, which made it the perfect time for criminals to disappear. Whatever. So at 12:30 a.m., security guard Rick Abath buzzed in the first visitor of the night. Why at 12:30 a.m.? I don't know. Two police officers, at least. Well, it's because there was chaos. He thought it was like, ah, shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's it's reasonable around. To believe. Yeah.
That's what they appeared to be. The officers claimed they were responding to a disturbance call. Museum policy said no one should be let inside after hours, but Rick broke protocol. Rick, whatever. Who among us hasn't broken protocol thinking they're doing the right thing and did the wrong thing? And then the second man entered. Then everything changed. The officer looked at the guard and said, "You look familiar. I think there's a warrant out for your arrest." Which is very creepy. The guard laughed nervously. Then the fake cop said, "Come out from behind the desk." The moment he did, he was handcuffed. That's smart as fuck.
Yeah, hell. These guys are pros. This is not...
The thieves then wrapped duct tape around the guard's head and eyes and then dragged him into the basement. Then for the next 81 minutes exactly, they wandered the museum almost casually. They wandered it almost casually. No panic, no rush. Which tells investigators something terrifying. These men knew exactly what they were doing.
Yeah.
All right. So the first target was the Dutch Room.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
And like I was trying not to give the spoiler alert, Greg, this is where the robbery becomes terrifying and unbearable for art historians, for FBI investigators, for anyone that's been trying to solve this thing.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Okay. So, your question is answered.
Huh.
They cut the masterpieces directly from their frames, sorry, using blades. They cut them out.
Oh my goodness.
Not carefully removed. They slice them out because how else are they going to take a heavy gold frame?
That's so smart.
No,
I bet if you remove the frame, there's an alarm and stuff. That's,
yeah,
that's genius.
But they destroyed what art historians would care about.
Yeah, big.
One of them was the storm on the Sea of Galilee.
Okay, I get it.
It's a big deal. Gone, but it's ruined now. So maybe
I say not ruined. The part that's missing is just in the frame. It's not seen anywhere.
Well, hold on.
All right, this is genius.
No,
in my opinion.
I have a thought though.
Some art nerds would be all mad about it. Like part of the canvas.
No, they actually probably would be into it. It's kind of like I have some baseball cards, and I know you like to make fun of those.
God, here we go.
There are some baseball cards I have that are very valuable I collected in 1992.
$2.
Shush. No. There's people that sell one of the ones I have on eBay for like $50,000 because there's a mistake on it and people freak out about that stuff.
It's true. She does have an error card.
Whatever.
First of all, everyone needs to know that you have a binder that somehow you're still obsessed with that's labeled based ball cards.
Well, I was like 4 or 5 when I
That's
wrote
right.
It.
That's cute.
Well, it was a mixture of basketball.
It's a mixture
and
of basketball. Yeah, and baseball. And
but there also was annotation. I couldn't spell my own name.
Tally stole your King Griffey Jr. card.
Yeah. Moving on. Let's go back to the story. So perhaps the most valuable missing painting on earth was the concert by Johannes Vermeer. Only about 34 Vermeer paintings are known to exist, which means stealing one is like stealing a moon rock or the crown of jewels. The thieves also stole works by Edward Degas, Chinese bronze, whatever. We get the point. And this part honestly chills me the most. Again, the frames are still empty. The security situation that night was catastrophic. The motion detectors worked, but none of them were monitored properly because the guards were inexperienced. There were, St. Patrick's Day parades going on. One was literally wandering around listening to music. No reinforced police communication happened. And the most shocking of all, the thieves never even entered the room containing the museum's most valuable painting, which have been Titans, The Rape of Europa, which means two things. Either the thieves were stupid, incredibly stupid, or they were working from a specific shopping list. And investigators believe it was the second. It was a very specific shopping list.
Yeah, I mean, to be this well orchestrated, this well planned.
And it might have been robbing, not been, rape, but I don't know. Sorry, trigger warning.
Hey, it's art. It's probably rape. Because art's hardcore like that. And we just Googled it.
Yeah, and that's how it's supposed to be pronounced.
Yeah.
It makes me uncomfy to say, but whatever. That is the most historical painting
and they didn't,
that wasn't stolen.
Exactly. Which is why I agree with other cops' suspicion that they had a shopping list. They were very intentional to be this well planned out, thought out. You don't do it on St. Patrick's Day with box cutters. But then again, suddenly I feel like I see a pair of like drunk electricians in Boston on like Goodwill Hunting who like already have box cutters in their pockets. Like, let's just go take the paintings.
Yeah.
You never know.
Well, you might be wrong. Well, at least, or maybe you could help solve it, and there's like a $10 million reward for it. There is a $10 million reward.
Which is why we should drop everything and do this.
1992, whatever, like 36 years later. Yes. Okay? So listen. All right? All of this made the FBI suspect that organized crime was involved, specifically Boston's criminal underground. One name surfaced repeatedly. Robert Gentile. Another, Bobby Donati. Donati was linked to, and this, I had to look this up phonetically. If it didn't have a couple extra syllables, I'd just say the Patricia crime family, but let's call it the Patriarca crime family. And who cares? I'd rather them not know that I pronounced their name correctly. So,
you're Italian. You should be able to do this.
I don't want to pronounce it correctly because I don't want to be killed.
Patriarchal?
P-A-T-R-I-A-R-C-A.
Whoa.
Yeah. Patriciaccia. It's fine. Patriciaccia. It's fine.
Spistachio.
It's whatever.
Cannoli. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. Let's just go.
But investigators theorize that the paintings may have been used as bargaining chips. Hmm. And that's common in organized crime. You don't necessarily sell famous art publicly. You use it privately.
Yes.
To negotiate reduced prison sentences, drug deals, protection, leverage, art becomes currency.
Yes, I have.
So you had a good insight on that, and you might be in the mafia. Let me finish.
Well, it's not.
There were rumors the paintings moved through Connecticut, Philadelphia, even possibly Ireland. At one point, investigators raided mob associates' homes, expecting to find art hidden behind walls. Nothing. Every lead dissolved. And then the suspects started dying. And I can tell you one quick anecdote from listening to, and please guys, I know that we've been like kind of off kilter with releasing episodes weekly, but we want to get back on track. But if you have any stories, we want to do, you know, your stories, like Seven Deadly Sinners listener stories.
Because you got any heist stories in your family?
Yeah,
your uncle ever steal the dinosaur from Sununko?
Yeah.
That's not how you say the gas station name.
I don't know.
You know.
Yeah, but any...
The Green Dinosaur gas station.
Any story you have, any family story, and it doesn't have to be a family story, any weird experience you've had. I heard an animal out here fairly recently that wasn't a bird I've ever heard before. It was like in the middle of the day. I was just going to go to our like burn barrel area or whatever because... apparently I'm a redneck now.
We sound so redneck with the burn barrel. It's great fun.
No, it was our fire pit, but...
Cowboy television.
Yeah. But I also have a department store of Chanel's and stuff. So I'm.
Oh, we're a very interesting juxtaposition. You come into our house, it's like you were in a storage container. It's like half dumpster, half department store. It's very interesting. One side of it, there's tools and material and trash. The other side of it, there's like a bunch of Gucci and Louis Vuitton and Versace. Was that?
It doesn't matter.
Oh, what's the other one? What's the butterfly cape?
Valentino.
There we go.
I got that from a thrift store and they didn't realize. That,
but hey, good find. I'm just saying.
You're taking us off track. I got it from a thrift store and they didn't realize that was a $7,500 jacket that they had listed for $175 at Crossroads. And I was selling $90 worth of like jeans and shit. And I was like, hopefully you don't notice. I'm like, I'll take that instead. I'll do an exchange. Just act natural. And I took the money. I basically was an art heist.
Come on, take the money and run. It was an art heist.
Yeah. I was like, just hopefully you don't notice.
Well,
go ahead.
No. I was just going to say you're kind of a fashion art thief.
Yeah. Well,
you just rob them.
Yeah. They were like, do you want your $90 in my clothing cash or would you like an exchange? And I was like, I'll take an exchange right now. I'll take it right now. And then I'm going to run because it was a teenager who didn't know what that cost.
Yeah.
Because, okay, let's get back to Boston. Because the only reason why I knew what that cost was because I had a very rich friend who went with me to my show in Boston.
Shout out, Rachel.
Yeah, her name is Rachel Miller. She accompanied me on my show in Boston, which I hope you guys come to more shows. I'm going to go back on the road. I don't know if any of my Be Here For a While listeners listen, but I was doing a show in Boston and Rachel and I were walking around and it got cold and she walked into Valentino and just bought a $7,000 butterfly jacket because she was cold. I was like, I don't understand what's happening here. I am really excited if I can make $1,000 on the show and get back home. Like, what's happening here? So I knew the price of what that type of jacket was. And so when I went into Crossroads in West Hollywood, I saw it and I was like, all right, clearly they don't know what this costs.
I'm going to cut this out of the frame right now.
Please don't. Okay. So back to Boston. Bobby Donati, murdered in 1991, shot to death execution style. These are some of the suspects. Some believe he was killed because he knew too much about the Gardner paintings. Others think he planned to use them to free another mobster from prison. Then there's Robert Gentile. The FBI searched his property repeatedly. Agents believed that they were very close, very close. The paintings were never recovered. And Gentile denied involvement until his death. Another suspect was David Turner, and he resembled one of the police sketches. He also had experience with art theft. Also, not great. And that's the maddening thing about this case, because the FBI publicly claims they know who did it, but they've never been able to prove it. It's fascinating and haunting, and it is one of the biggest art museum heists in American history. It probably was the mob involved, and most likely most of them are dead, but I don't know that we'll ever know. But there still is a whatever you call it, prize out, what do you call the thing?
Reward.
A reward out for anyone that knows any information about this, but I think likely it's probably never going to be solved. Number two, I think it's possible that the police or whatever were involved with the organized crime. And number three, I think a lot of things are corrupt. So thank you guys so much for listening.
Yeah, probably not going to solve it.
They're never going to solve it. It was from 1990. Like, and what would be the point? Like, I don't think that woman that was that rich really cares that much.
But if you do have information, probably, you should tell us and not the authorities.
Sure.
Seven Deadly Sinners, a podcast at gmail.com.
There you go.
We'll get on the case. We'll split it 50-50. This is a real deal.
All right. That's a great deal. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a 5-star rating and positive review on Apple Podcasts. And, you know, subscribe. And just keep listening. And thank you so much for being my friend on this journey. I very much appreciate it. And party on.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.